This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Hey, Kate Delaney with you. Thanks so much for hopping on board. We're going to talk about a couple of things, of course, what the trends are with COVID-19 updates. You know, now life after the Olympics, were you even paying attention? Wow, the ratings came out and they are not very good. So the Peacock Network really tanking on the Olympics. And, of course, it's been streaming all over the place. Are people just tired of the Olympics, don't care, or thinking of other things, or aren't interested in the Summer Olympics this time around? I don't know. There's probably a couple of different reasons for that, and some of it might be just lack of interest, just not interested in what the Olympics are offering this summer, and there's some brand new sports too, and some of it included climbing, and then there was a big emphasis on surfing, there was a big emphasis on BMX racing, you know, mountain biking, all kinds of things that people, younger people do, and older people do them too as well, and now they're Olympic sports. All right, first though, let's go into what happened at the Pentagon. Last week we were talking about that attack at the Pentagon. Boy, it is just so sad. I don't have a great adjective for this. It's intolerable is what it is. I mean, the Pentagon had to go on lockdown. Why? Because there was a shooting at a subway station right outside of our supposedly most secure U.S. military headquarters. So employees in the Defense Department headquarters in the Arlington suburb of Washington were ordered to shelter in place because of several gunshots and injuries at the station just a few dozen yards away. I mean, trust me, I've been there many, many, many times in the past. The suspect in the attack outside the Pentagon was 27-year-old Austin William Lance from Georgia. Because, you know, they're trying to piece together what could possibly, you know, make this happen. How did this happen? What was the motivation? Lance, I guess, was enlisted with the military in 2012, never earned actually the title of Marine. And he decided for some reason to show up there. And he had been arrested in the past on a number of charges like criminal trespassing, burglary, aggravated battery on a police officer, terroristic threats, rioting in a penal institution, obstructing or hindering law enforcement. So there's a thing here with law enforcement, it seems. So Lance was released on $30,000 bond on May 12th, and he was required to undergo a mental health and substance abuse eval in 30 days. The terms of his bail required him to enroll in a treatment, and he was also required not to have a firearm. So he hadn't been indicted on the charges because the case was transferred, and this is in Georgia because he was a Georgian. And the records show that two charges were dismissed because they didn't have probable cause. So what makes him decide to go and attack? And it's so sad for the families. I mean, you know, Officer George Gonzalez stabbed by him, and other officers responded, of course, immediately and shot the suspect. And then that led to the lockdown and the confusion and whatnot, but confusion over what happened here, and just incredibly sad. Whatever anger, whatever mental health or disorder or whatever the reason was that triggered that, just a very sad thing for those families. All right, the Olympics. So maybe you weren't watching the Olympics. I kind of got into the Olympics. I said this, the swimming and the track and field and some of the storylines, because I feel for those athletes. I've interviewed athletes in the past, and I know what it takes, and I know the sacrifices of the families. So I'm very intrigued by that because I like people. I like people's stories, just like with our authors. I like the backstory. Why did this happen? How'd you write this? Da-da-da-da. And the same with the athletes. What's their backstory? So well, now that the Olympics are over, NBC's TV audience for the Summer Olympics was down a whopping 45% from the Rio Games in 2016. Primetime down 51%.
But I guess the silver lining, if there's any good positive news for the Peacock Network, which I used to work at the Peacock Network, is that their primetime coverage on television is still about 13.5 million viewers. So that brings in a bigger audience than other broadcasts that they would be going against in the same time periods. So that part is good, but still. And then, you know, you've got broadcast TV, you've got cable, you've got streaming, and there's a little bit of a boost there because you have to remember the other platforms. And you know, what is the reason? It used to be kind of a traditional thing. I mean, the Olympics are historical, and usually they're watched around the world, and there's lots of viewers. And because we're watching competition. But I guess it's different. You know, we've got lots of social media and streaming. There's lots of ways to fragment the audience. And TV is different than it used to be. I guess that would be one main thing. And also, I think part of it is the distractions that we all face and with what's happening in our lives. And so because of that, we maybe aren't doing some of the things we'd normally do. Like, I think of Rio. And of course, we weren't in a pandemic. It was a whole different thing, how the Rio games were. And some of the sports were different too. Meaning some of the sports were, there wasn't a big test market for a lot of sports. All right, the nonsense on the planes has to stop. I mean, people losing their minds. I just don't get it. I like probably overuse this phrase, but I have no words for this other than stupidity. Don't get on a flight if you're nutty about having to wear a mask, or you just feel like you're going to be a rebel rouser. Go rebel rouse someplace else instead of ruining other people's vacations when they're scared to death half the time to get on a flight. So, you know, last week a flight from North Carolina to the Bahamas had to be delayed overnight because of the disruptions. There were teenage passengers that were refusing to wear masks, and of course you can't do that. And this was a flight that was going to leave Charlotte, North Carolina. It was going to travel to Nassau, the Bahamas. And you got to think, this is people that are saying, oh my gosh, we're getting away. We saved our pennies. We're getting away. We need to get out of here. We need to take a vacation. We need to sit our butts on the beach and drink some Bahama Mamas, but watch the kids swim or whatever. So once again, the airline had to direct all the passengers to another gate at the North Carolina airport because of the face mask nonsense and the disruption and the captain trying to make a decision how to deny members of the group boarding on the replacement aircraft, and so more hours and baggage checked by travelers removed from the plane, and ultimately the flight was moved to Tuesday because of last week, because of the delays. It would have already have arrived at the Bahamas, but they couldn't do it because then immigration and customs gets closed. So why, you know the policies, don't fly. Don't fly and don't screw up everybody else. Give me a break, people. It's great you have your opinions. You don't want to do it. You don't want to comply. Don't go. I have words for you. Go home. Stay home. Leave everybody else out of it. Let them do what they're going to do. Come on. All right. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk to an author who has a book called Ghostly Aura. If you believe in ghosts, do you believe in angels, do you believe in the supernatural, do you not believe in it, and then you had an incident happen that made you believe? All right, that's coming up next. Stay with us.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay Bay 15th Anniversary Contest for Better Health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th Anniversary Contest for Better Health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today. Virtual Green Room, Mary Thankham is with us. She's written a book called Ghostly Aura. Hey, Mary, thanks so much for coming on. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you, Kate?
I'm excellent. So your book, we talked off the air and we talked about, you know, how it came about and whatnot. It's so fascinating. What was your road to writing this book? Why'd you write this book?
Well, I've always wanted to be a writer. And It kind of came to me. I was, it's a little bit personal experience and a lot of it, well, my invention. And I felt like as I was writing it, that I was reading it while I wrote it. So I really enjoyed the process, in other words.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good thing. When you're enjoying it, then I think then the reader really enjoys it. So tell us the story. Tell us the story. What is the story about?
Okay, well, there's a young, let's take it to her mother. A mother who is in India, and this is not reflective of all of India or in any way suggestive of how everybody acts, but you know, there are rare exceptions that are not good, and this is one of them. She was pregnant, and her husband wanted the baby to be a boy, and when it turned out that the baby was a girl, the husband gets angry and doesn't want to keep the baby, so she takes the baby and runs to an orphanage that she had scoped out. And this is she had given birth to the main character. She was naming the baby Jahiel, J-A-H-E-E-L. But when she got to the orphanage, two people were there that ended up adopting the baby, and they couldn't pronounce Jahiel. So, but they could pronounce sort of Jael, So that became the baby's name, Chael. And that's the main character of Ghostly Aura.
Yes, and tell us about Jael. Tell us about the personality and what happens in this story.
Okay, well, Jael she does really well. She's adopted by those two people who are an interracial couple. One is Irish and one is Mexican. And they raised her very well. And they're a Christian couple, and they raised her very well. But she herself rejects religion. For her, that is what makes the most sense. So for her, kind of not believing in any religion or any God or actually anything supernatural, no angels, no ghosts, no demons, no, she doesn't even believe in aliens. The idea of no belief sustains her. And what happens is she's an adult and she started college and she has a boyfriend and a best friend. And she didn't realize that they were acquainted apart from her. They actually, because both of them respect that Jael is an atheist and neither of them mess with her beliefs, or rather her lack of beliefs. And until Jael wakes up one morning and she senses kind of like when somebody comes into the room, you can see them and hear them and kind of sense that someone's come in the room and then you see them and hear them and confirm it. Well, she sensed that somebody came in the room, but she never saw anyone or heard anyone. And the thing is, this feeling that somebody else is right next to her doesn't leave her. And her boyfriend, she had never gone to church with her boyfriend. He's a strong Christian. But he couldn't leave her alone, so he says, hey, put your shoes on and come with me. And so she didn't want to be alone. She put her shoes on and came with him. And he takes her to church. This is a Wednesday night, and he goes every Wednesday and twice on Sunday. And when she gets there, she bumps into her best friend, Mari, and her boyfriend's name is Kaven. And this is a new shock to her, first of all, feeling the presence this unseen presence, and second of all, finding out that her best friend and her boyfriend are good friends and that they go to the same church. And essentially they become her family while she tries to deal with this unseen presence.
Wow, don't tell us anymore because we'll leave it to the readers, the listeners out there who get the book, Ghostly Aura. But for you, what did you feel? You know, people talk about feeling a presence. What happened in your life?
Well, see, that's the part that's autobiographical. I felt a presence one morning and I did not see anybody. And that presence remained for several months. And, you know, that's a personal story, but it's reflected in the book as well. And it was personally resolved, and it's also resolved in the book.
Good way to tie that all up. What do you hope people get out of reading your book, Ghostly Aura? What do you hope they take away?
Well, I hope that they find themselves in the book. And what is the reality for all of us? We, no matter how educated, how old we are, how sure of ourselves, and or how sure other people are of us, we all really don't know. We are all just kind of wandering, trying to act like we're very sure. So I hope that in reading the book, people will see, it's fictional, but that people will be able to relate to it, that they'll be able to find themselves in the book. And that it will help them to take their next step.
So after writing this novel, will you write any others?
I am writing the sequel to this novel.
Very good. I like that. So we, you know how it is. You get to the end of the book, you're involved in the character and in the story, and then you want more. So we'll wait to see what happens next with that one. And, of course, you can get this book wherever great books are sold, Amazon, BNN, all those places. Mary Thankham. Ghostly Aura is the name of the book. Pick it up. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
It's so interesting, the theme of Ghostly Aura that Mary Thankham talked about. You know, you've got this main character who
who was adopted as a baby and then raised in the United States. So imagine being plucked from India and then you're raised in the U.S. And then you start off and you're, you know, sort of an atheist. You're not a believer. You don't believe really in very much. People talk about God and angels and even on the other side of it, aliens or ghosts or whatever. And then she feels that presence and her unbelief in the supernatural becomes challenged. So anyway, fascinating theme. I can remember having a conversation with my mother about that when she, who was definitely did not believe in ghosts or some of the tales that people would tell, and she said that she had no choice. She was drawn into sort of the seance with writers in New York, and she listened to what they were saying and then had to go to the restroom, and when she was going up the stairs, she said that she encountered the dog and the dog's hair was straight up and that there was this coolness that came, like, kind of whisked by her. And, you know, that story always stuck with me because my mother is a very practical, realistic person, and it made me, you know, answer, you know, you think of the question of the what if. And I'm sure some of you, in fact, out there have had some of those strange, unexplainable encounters, and some people shake it off and just chalk it up to, well, that's nothing, it's my imagination. Other people think that, well, you know, maybe there's something else there, maybe there's something, maybe this is some angel, maybe this is some ghost, maybe this is something else. And I just love the whole idea of exploring that. I like that she explored that in her book. And of course, we know with movies, we go from one extreme to another. I mean, even if you have the silly and the iconic, the Ghostbusters, or you have, you know, Amityville Horror, or you have other either horror kind of genre movies, or even religious movies where an angel appears to somebody. There was the one movie with Nicolas Cage and Meg Ryan, and it was, you know, one of those movies that was really kind of portrayed that, like the feeling, she's feeling the presence, and then the angel wants to come over to the other side because he falls in love with her. And it was called City of Angels. It was in the late 90s, I think, when that came out. And it's the story of Nicolas Cage being an angel who wanders the LA area, and he's invisible to humans. And then, you know, all of a sudden he wants that different trip. And I'm not going to spoil that movie for you if you end up seeing it, but pretty interesting to look at those things. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
With water, sun, and flow, pick it up.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The Senate is scheduled to vote on the $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill early Tuesday morning after working through the weekend to try to move the measure through. Kansas Republican Senator Jerry Moran joined the group that negotiated the contents of the bill and voted to endorse the framework of the package, but says he cannot vote for the final measure. He explained that the bipartisan nature of the bill is trumped by a $3.5 trillion spending bill that the Democrats plan to bring up following this measure.
I would say again that I'm open to those opportunities. I'm saddened by the fact that this did not reach an agreement that I can support, but I certainly indicate to my colleagues that I'm willing to work with Republican and Democratic members of the Senate to see that in other instances we can come together in a way that provides hope for the American people that we can work together and a better product than we were able to reach in this instance.
This is USA Radio News. As the Taliban conquered a sixth provincial capital in Afghanistan, the Pentagon reports that the situation hinges on Afghan civilian and military leadership to stop the terrorists. John Clemens reports.
Former Admiral John Kirby, now the Pentagon press secretary, said the fighting in the country is clearly not going in the right direction. Kirby said the U.S. believes the Afghan forces have the capability to make a big difference on the battlefield.
Whatever the outcome here, when we look back, we're going to be able to know, we're going to be able to say that it was driven by leadership, Afghan leadership, political and military leadership. That's what's vital here.
From the USA Radio News, Texas Bureau. I'm John Clemens.
And the University of Minnesota says it will require all students and faculty to get COVID vaccinations once they're fully approved by the Food and Drug Administration. Those who do not get the shot will have to submit to regular COVID testing. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
To introduce you to Matthew J.C. Broster. He has a book called Just Imagine, and this book couldn't be more timely for what so many people are going through, and he has such an interesting story. Matthew, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, cool. It's a pleasure to be here.
So what was the road that led you ultimately to writing Just Imagine?
Yeah, so I've had a lot of thoughts in my head, and I've gone through a lot of, had the thoughts that many people don't always think of and speak about openly, you know, where we're wondering where life's going, what's the meaning of life, why is all of this happening in the world right now, why suddenly is everybody talking about different things and conspiracies, there's, you know, there's suppressed emotions, there's so much suicide more than ever, and there's mental health problems and depression all over the world, and so I've thought of many things, but then on the 1st of December 2019, all of a sudden I had a really big awakening and I started seeing the bigger picture and I realised that there's so much more to this and it's not doom and gloom and we're going to go into this kind of like this paradise on earth is forming and that's forming all around the world. And from the 1st of December 2019, I started writing and dealing with and cutting through all of these mental barriers that we all have, but everything's kind of, it's so much easier in the end. It's like every time we worry, the end result is never as bad as how we perceived it to be in our mindset when we were worrying. So this led me to write a couple of books, but my main book was Just Imagine. And I was around a friend's house in July the 26th last year, so about 11 months ago. And I was sat there talking to her, and all of a sudden, this energy has just come through me. And I started having tears in my eyes, and I started saying all this stuff about how one day there's going to be this world of oneness and love, and Mother Earth's going to breathe, there's going to be less water and in the seas, and this whole different concept of how there's going to be these healing pyramids and this tribe of the rainbow, these 144,000 people that are going to rise in geometric locations around the world, and they're going to be able to dance off the dark energies of mental health, just like they did in the tribal days of Africa and all over the civilizations. That's how they do it. And then some people in Africa, they, you know, they say things like, you know, the Western are like, why don't you go to the doctors with your mental health? Why don't you just dance it off, because there's demons you need to let go? And all of this was coming through me, and this lady was writing all this stuff down. It was about six A4 pages, and I was just like, wow, I can't believe what just come out. And it was so articulate, and it makes sense to where the world's going. And when people think of the doom and gloom, it's like the butterfly in the cocoon of humanity, and we're just about to, like, bloom and blossom, and no butterfly would ever think about the cocoon, but they have to go through the cocoon to come out. So that was a little bit about, like, what happened with the trance. And then on the 1st of January this year, 2021, I was just woken up, and in my head I just kept hearing, just imagine. It's going to be 11 chapters, it's going to take me 40 days and 40 nights to write, and all this stuff, and I'm like, whoa. And then I just wrote, by the end of that day, I'd written half of what I thought was the first chapter. It's actually chapter 7, Our Dreams. And I just go into basically a trance for 40 days and 40 nights. For, I don't know, 5 to 7 hours, I think, right in a day. And it was like 111 pages total, the book. And, yeah, I just, everything that I had in that trance comes in an articulate way with rhythmic words and a really positive, uplifting book that can show you, show any reader where we're at, what we've been through, where we're going, and how easy it's going to actually be to release this, you know, this dark energy of this world, because so many people don't speak about it. But there's actually really very easy, articulate orchestration. It's like the plan of God or the plan of the universe, the plan of the divine. It's all unfolding for beautiful reasons. And when I was writing Just Imagine, I mean, I was in tears many times. I felt all this spiritual energy all around me. Sometimes if I was writing something powerful, this is going to sound crazy, but sometimes if I was writing something really powerful, all the birds up above my cabin would all start chirping, going crazy, and I'm like crying, and I'm in this class, and I'm typing, and I can't remember what I'm typing, but it comes out. And then when I've sent my book to different people in the world, and I've written in it and written on a little message to them, things have been changing in their life, like, for the better, all of a sudden. And I'm just like, oh my God, there's something, you know, it's like I'm sort of being chosen to do this role to then kind of like prophecy in a way, you know, like I've been given these messages to then articulate into a book. And then, yeah, and it's not even a big book. It's like, I think it's about a 4-hour read, Just Imagine. And it's just a beautiful book. And I'm saying that not from the fact that I wrote it, but I feel that it came through me from a higher source to help people realize that we're in a beautiful place. This is the real, the most epic time in universal history. And what we're going into is going to be really blissfully beautiful and like a paradise of oneness and love and peace. And that's what everybody really, deep down, desperately wants and needs, because many people are realizing that there's possibly elites, or, you know, possibly there's a very small percentage of people that don't necessarily have humanity's best interests in mind. And if we realize that we are all believers, and if we tap into sharing more and using money as an energy to actually heal the world, we'll realize that the spiritual, physical, and heartfelt connection with each and every one of us in the world, once we're not separated by nations or color, creed, skin, culture, we'll realize that we're all the same thing, and our mother is one entity, and it's beautiful. And once we get above to that level, it's like when you play something, say if you're really good at football, you love writing, you get into that creative flow, that mindset, and it's like time stands still, and it's just beautiful, and nothing, and after you're like, oh wow, I'd love to do that again. And it's like that, but 100 times better, and all the time. And that's what we're going into. But there has to be like the cocoon of the butterfly. It has to go to that. But when I wrote Just Imagine, it's just 11, yeah, just some of the chapters are just really beautiful, and I surprised myself, like, I shocked myself. I'm writing things, and I'm like, whoa, and I had to read it again. I'm like, wow, because there's so much wisdom and stuff in it, and it's not by me, it's through me. And and then I got a big insight about a month ago to have 75% of my physical book sales go straight to orphanages and places in Africa, which I've got a Facebook page, and I'm working with them and taking lots of photos, got art competitions going, there's street kids being homed and sheltered through funds raised through my 75% of my book sales and also donations. So it's like, it's not just a book to help humanity, it's a book that's actually redeeming, bringing many street kids and suffering children from Africa and Pakistan at the moment. There's going to be more places. And then I have the photos taken, videos, and they send messages to all the people that donated. It's just a real beautiful story that I'm just kind of taking the passenger seat and going with, rather than saying, this is from me, this book's from me, this is all my idea. Because it's not. It's coming from a really divine source. And, yeah, I think many people, if we just take a little step back and actually look at what's happening, look at how the world's healing, you know, less pollution, more animals coming out of nowhere. People are seeing mountains for the first time in places like India. There's so much beauty going on, and it's all preparing for this kind of paradise on earth, heaven on earth scenario where we realize, wow, like, this is what we came for, and we're all here for a reason, and the meaning of life is a question that we should all know. We shouldn't be wondering what the meaning of life is. That doesn't resonate at all, really. But it's a really wide question that no one knows, and we should all know that. So I suppose, yeah, that's a bit about Just Imagine and how that happened. And I won with my company, my self-publishing company, there was a couple of discrepancies that we had between each other, and I ended up asking and fighting for 100% royalties of my book. So I won that battle, which means that I get more money on my book sales to then give to orphanages. So rather than getting 25% royalties and having, you know, a book company take 75%, I get 100% of it, and 75% of that goes straight to the orphanages, street kids, homeless people, going to be build shelters. In Cameroon at the moment, there's a big civil war going on under the, you know, it's not really being shown, but there's many kids that are on the street suffering and a lot of bad stuff happening. And because of the financial crisis there, for example, it's $200 to fund the education of one child for one whole year. And it's like, literally, that's probably selling 8 or 9 hardback copies of my book would provide 1 year's education for a child. And these kids really need it. And this is how I have been shown that the world's going to come together, because many of these people in third world countries are actually really enlightened and have a high vibrational energy, which everything's vibration, energy, frequency and sound. So once these, you know, once there's this healing to these third world countries, which, to be honest, there should never be third world in this world, there's enough money easily for everyone, that vibration is going to go all around the world, and people are going to start being lifted. And they're going to be like, oh, why do I feel great today? Oh, and it's slowly going to be this beautiful manifestation of heaven on earth. And I have had this calling that I've felt to go with to do that and be this like kind of middleman to then, you know, write Just Imagine and then put the money towards the orphanages and then have this. And then all around the world, different connections are coming towards me from different places. They're coming to me. I call it angels. When I pray in the morning, I ask for angels, and angels come my way. But I've seen an absolutely beautiful future.
So it's a perfect place to end this great talking to you about Just Imagine, and just imagine if so much of this happens and what the world would look like. Matthew, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Argo Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells.
Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Virgil joins us now, and he's got a book called Virgil's Story, and his story is so interesting. I've been reading a lot about World War II and the Great Depression, and he talks about life on a farm. You know, he talks about his life. He talks about life on a farm during the Great Depression and World War II, and talks really in depth about it. Talks about the family, what it was like, the sad news of the deaths of two brothers in the war that took a huge toll on that family, and then just some really fun, incredible journeys that the family took together, he and his wife, as they got to travel to many wonderful places. Virgil, thanks so much for coming on to share your story.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
So let's talk about life on a farm. What was life on a farm in the 30s like near South Bend, Indiana?
Well, it was, we had to work very hard. My parents were trying to pay off, you know, a mortgage on a farm at depression prices. And he had five kids, my parents did, and it was hard work. We had to work hard, but to me, I didn't know what depression was. I mean, I didn't know I was in a depression. It was just life to me. I was born in 1930, and I didn't know anything else. So it was a lot of hard work, and up through the Second World War too, we did a lot. We did it with horses, like the Amish do now, with horses. And we had one old tractor, but it was hard work. And But it was life. I mean, we didn't know we were in a depression. I mean, I didn't. My parents did, but I didn't. And we had good times. We made our own entertainment. Our lives were pretty much connected with the church and activities with other people in the church. We're all in the same boat. So, you know, it was, we had good times, really.
So when you talk about the horse, I'm just visualizing this, and I grew up outside of Amish country, so I know exactly what you're talking about, you know, plowing the fields, etc. And you think 1930 and all that work, does that mean, you know, you multiply the kids, and then you think about what time you have to get up, so, you know, did you have to get up like the crack of dawn, and you're there getting the eggs and doing all that stuff?
Exactly. That's what we did. I sort of hated it, but my dad would beller up at the stairs at us, thinking, boys, get up, you know. It'd be whatever the sunshine was, you know, whether it came at 5:30 or 4 or 4:30 or whenever, you know.
Yeah.
You got up and worked when you had sun. And,
so,
that's the way it was. You learned to work hard, you know, do things together. And that was good because people helped each other, too, on the farms.
Yeah, the value of teamwork. And it's interesting because you grow up on this farm, and then you end up getting a PhD in chemistry, physical chemistry, from the University of Illinois. You have this incredible professional career where it involves things I can't even pronounce. And you get to travel, and you write all these technical journals. What was that like, making a leap from the foot of the simple life to the farm to, boom, here you are, this chemist, you know, and getting this PhD?
Yeah, well, it was a change, of course. You know, you're a big fish in a little pond, but you become a little fish in a big pond when you go to college and all that sort of thing. But you've got to learn... be willing to accept new challenges, I think. That was part of life, you know. And I enjoyed it. I decided between my junior and senior year at Purdue that I'd rather live with a certain young girl who I grew up with. She was in the community, too, rather than with the 45 boys I lived with in a co-op house the first 3 years of Purdue. So we got married, you know, between junior and senior year, and we had some fantastic times together, and the vacations and things like it. She had the wanderlust, and she took us on some wonderful vacations.
Well,
so it was quite a change, but we adapted to it quite well, I think, because we're willing to learn, I think, and learn new things.
Yeah, and maybe you learn, it's interesting for everybody listening, maybe that's something you learned as a kid because of all that teamwork, and it's funny because I think it carried into that life too, beyond the academics. You played the sousaphone. You played the sousaphone in the Purdue All-American Band. Are you kidding? That's huge. Wow, how'd you learn how to play this 105-year-old tuba?
Yeah, well, I entertain a lot with that. So I was sitting in my room, I play it every once in a while, not much anymore, but I used to entertain. I love to entertain people. I love to see people smile and laugh. And I entertain a lot of groups with that tuba. They think it's funny. I tried to do it in the style of Victor Borge, you know, introducing humor into the thing, and it seemed to work pretty well. But my real love of entertaining was when we sang with... I sang bass in a quartet. We did barbershop, gospel, and country western. And I learned to play a string bass, you know, one of the doghouse basses for the country western music. We entertained people all over Northeast Ohio.
Wow.
And we really enjoyed that.
Wow, how fun. And somehow in between you managed to have children and 8 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren.
That's right.
Back on the farm. So tell me about the farm. How did you come full circle with that?
Well, it's a small farm, but my wife decided we lived in town for a while, you know, when we were moving around a little bit. And my wife decided I need to be on a farm. Not her, but me. And we bought a small farm. It was only, it was ranchette or whatever you call it. I don't know. But anyway, it has a barn. So I raised beef cattle, and I planted the apple orchard that I took care of, and pruned and sprayed and all that sort of thing. I enjoy making things grow and watching things grow. So that has been a blessing to us. And we from the apple orchard, every year we had a what I call an apple butter fest. We have a copper kettle, and with the apples and cider from it, we'd have maybe 40 or 50 people come out every year, and we'd have them stir apple butter all day long, and they each one got to take some apple butter home with them, and that was good. It was a good social event, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, yeah. Apple butter is so good. You're making me crave it. The last time I had apple butter, I think I was a teenager. I was in Pennsylvania Dutch territory.
Yeah.
They make apple butter, and that's the first place
We always did as a kid, on our farm when I grew up in home. Every year we had a big batch of apple butter, and it was canned. We canned it all,
Canning, there's a word of the past that I think everybody could use. So if somebody reads Virgil's story, which of course you can get on Amazon, Virgil, what do you hope that they take away from reading your story?
Well, I hope they say that religious intolerance is not good, a good thing. It's caused many people to move, to migrate to different areas, caused a lot of misery, like a 30 years war in Germany. That was between Protestant and Catholic forces, and that shouldn't be, excuse me, but what I hope people take away is I think you have to be willing to help others. I think that's a good thing, to be willing to help others, and never stop learning, I think is important, and welcome new adventures, I think is a good thing to do. And cultivate these friendships. That's what's important, I think. And I hope it comes out in this book sort of that way.
Yeah, and you tell more specifics too. What's really fascinating to me for folks listening is you talk about, those years, the 30s, the 40s, you talk about the family, you talk about the large tract of land, what that was like, 18 miles from Chicago, which always is the interesting part to me, the stuff that we lose, and how the family ends up coming from Europe, from other places, and you really go into that, and I think it's absolutely fascinating. And your story is fascinating. Virgil, thank you so much for sharing it with us. Virgil Marcel. The story is called Virgil's Story, and you can get it, like I said before, anywhere where books are sold, Barnes and Noble, etc. So thanks.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, and thanks to everybody out there listening to the show. Remember to make it count, everybody. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports Hall of Famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.